Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Black Lord Tribal Edition. Murumu and Ganyara with you today as we broadcast this lovely program around the world on the Yidinji Territory via the Yidinji Broadcast Service. And if you're listening elsewhere in Australia, then you must be listening to the National Indigenous Radio Service. And hey, welcome, Bill and Gunn. And we say, may God's peace be upon you, as we talk about some things about, I guess, some of the societies on this continent and the laws that exist that some Australians may not be able to see or know about. Well, let's start with the Sydney Morning Herald. We can see them, by the way, as members of the Ganyara. How are you?
Hey, good, thanks. Hey.
Yeah, we can see them because we know that they're the belligerent occupier. But let's go to the Sydney Morning Herald. It was recently sold by Fairfax. The heading is they've got the front cover of the Uluru Statement, the Rock, and all that. So there's a big push for this voice to Parliament. A bloke by the name of Peter Fitzsimmons, people might recognise him. He wears the bandana all the time on television, guy with a beard. And I think his wife works on Channel 9 or Channel 7, one of those ones. Some wrongs can never be made right, but an Indigenous voice is a start. Bravo, Prime Minister Scott Morrison. How many of those very few who predicted his re-election also foresaw that he would announce shortly after that he is committed to constitutional recognition? Good. None of you. And yet for the Prime Minister, it is brilliant politics, as he is all but solely being credited with the election victory. How impressive if he can use his unchallenged authority to wrongfoot his critics and steer a bipartisan push that would help heal the national divide towards something important that is so long overdue. Yes, an actual legacy. Would the hard right of the media and the politics bitterly criticise the Prime Minister if he pushed it hard? Perhaps very little. But he would get support and respect from abroad, from broad swathes of those to the left of him who could never have imagined him being so wise. For at issue are some deep truths in our national story. The central point of the First Peoples is that they never ceded sovereignty in the first place, and that the Australian Constitution is therefore built on a false premise is simply irrefutable. The aspect that particularly interests me, as one now finishing the final draft of a book on Captain Cook, is the first claim of British sovereignty on these lands. Given the importance of the current debate for both recognition and the coming Australian Republic, I've gone deeply into what happened. So he basically talks about Cook's journey and going to Possession Island, or what Cook called Possession Island, which was something else, and saying that the whole basis of that is flawed. We know it's flawed, and even if Aboriginal people did see their sovereignty, which tribe, where's the document, where's the receipt for sale of purchase, where's the treaty, where's the declaration of war? So many questions, so very few answers.
There are no answers, sorry to say that. It has been a different sort of week. And you'll see there what he did say, that sovereignties were never ceded. You're dead right. And as you said in the start of the show, we can see them. The reason we can see them is they're upon our territory, and all those who are upon our territory are subject to our laws and our authority that was never ceded in the first place. Our sovereignty reigns supreme if we want it to. If we're going to make it reign supreme, we've got to start to come back and stop being Australians. And that's the problem. There is no treaty. The great divide in the nation, there is no treaty. Why? Because it was never done. This is the legacy that the Sydney Morning Herald had a whole heap of stuff in it for the last that episode. And there was so much in there. You know, it's been 2 years since the Uluru Statement come out, May 17. It's just commemorating that, as you said, the big rock. It sure is. But in there it even says, these are the best minds of Australia, said sovereignty was never ceded. That's the end of the argument. If our sovereignty was never ceded, then our sovereignty is still here.
But who's the sovereign? I think it's in the name. The sovereign Yidinji government. Perhaps that's the sovereign. And if the Commonwealth of Australia is talking and negotiating and or communicating with the sovereign Yidinji government, therefore it makes sense to me that they're admitting that the sovereign is the Yidinji nation.
It sure is. It really is, and there's no argument about that. In international law, if you want to use it that way, or constitutional law, the Constitution is based on a belief, and that comes from there won the Bible. That's Commonwealth Australia is based on the Bible. But our sovereignty is based on our ancient laws and our cosmological narrative that was before the white fellas come, and it's still here. That's what Justice Dowsett said, it's still here. But until we cede our sovereignty, or until we give it up, it is the supreme authority upon this bit of land. And if we want to enforce it, we have every right to. And I don't know what Australia can do about stopping us doing that. Unless they become militant and want to retaliate with military action, which is then a declaration of war, which no longer can gain territory anyway, which is futile. It would only exacerbate the genocide that has already taken place. So it's not doing that. We're coming along saying, okay, we can cure this for not $1. We are the authority. You can't give us a treaty. We've got to give you one. We don't want a voice in your parliament. We want to be able to talk with your parliament, not inside it. We want to talk with the leadership. And that's how UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous Peoples, makes perfect sense. Consult and cooperate. Inside Australia, if you go in there, you can't cooperate and consult with Australia, can you, with the state? Or the state can't cooperate and consult with you because you are in the state.
Yeah, when you're in there, then that's your courts, it's your police, it's your self-defence or army or whatever it is, and it's your Prime Minister, which is Scott Morrison.
Yep.
And this is the thing that people have to realise now. If you're acting as an Australian, then, you know, stick to the script. We keep saying that. You know, it is all theatre, and like good actors, they remember their lines, and they don't improvise too much when it comes to issues of state. And this is the thing now. Once you're inside of Australia, there are parameters. That parameter, the ultimate one, is the Constitution. And so if you're in there, to the best of your ability, uphold the laws of that Constitution. However, if you are of tribal descent, then use that personality. You know, at least consider this. I'm not telling you to do it, but use, you know, at least have a think about using your personality to actually alert the Commonwealth of Australia in good faith to this other law society or the nation or tribe that actually holds the authority and since the beginning of time. And that's what we've been talking about on this program, Black Law Tribal Edition, now for I don't know how many years, but it's coming up to 4 or 5 years now. Maybe, yeah, something like that down there. But I think that's what this is all about now. Understand this. A voice to Parliament is for Australians. A voice inside of Australia is for Australia. The voice to Parliament for the Yidinji Nation is the sovereign Yidinji government. There cannot be one voice for everyone because the Yidinji Nation is not the Commonwealth of Australia. It can never be and never will be. Matter of fact. So if you married someone, or if you had a partnership in a business, if that partner, there's two people there at least, if that partner died, then that's the end of the business or the treaty. So if all the Yidinji went inside of Australia and no one was left in Yidinji, there's only one party there. No good. Doesn't work. Treaty over. So that's what we're saying. Have at least a think about this. But we're hearing all the Indigenous Australians, like Pauline Hanson and now Scott Morrison, talking about this stuff. And all the Aboriginal people, these high-flyer academics and so, and lawyers, talking in Australia for Australia, but they may be forgetting something else.
Well, yeah, I'll just give you a bit of a quick heads up. Your voice to Parliament, every Australian has the same voice to Parliament right now, right today. You know, Ken Wyatt, he is the voice to Parliament for someone, for those people in his electorate. Noel, you know, you look at Scott Morrison, he's the voice to Parliament for some people, those in his electorate. Mm. Pauline Hanson, so you start to look around all the politicians. They are your voice to Parliament, whether they're Blackwater or Brindle, it's irrelevant. Now, am I wrong to say that Scott Morrison is not of some tribal descent here in Australia on this great land? Am I wrong to say Ken Wyatt is of some tribal descent on this land? Yes, they are, but the identity they're using are created within the Australian Constitution, in the Commonwealth of Australia. That is your voice to Parliament through your representative. No ifs, no buts.
And that's somebody else's property, by the way.
It sure is. That property belongs to the Commonwealth of Australia. That's the identity you're seen legally and politically through. And that man, Ken, yep, he's using Mr. Wyatt to be seen inside Australia. Good on him. I take my hat off to him. He got into a good job. And same with Scott. Good job.
All right. I was going to stop you there. Question. Senator Dodson, Linda Burney, Mulindiri McCarthy, Ken Wyatt, and let's say any other men or women of Indigenous ancestry that have taken office inside of Australia, who do they swear allegiance to? Their creator, maybe Guyabara or another creator of their tribal society, or the Queen of Australia, the Queen of England. The Queen of Australia, which is Elizabeth. We have played on this program that every elected member inside of Australia, whether they hold a Senate or the lower house, swears an allegiance to the Queen of Australia. Now, that's saying something, and so they should, mind you, because all Australians should swear an allegiance to the Queen of Australia or Queen Elizabeth. And that's how it works in that world. But for us, it doesn't work like that. We swear no allegiance to anyone but the creator of the Yidinji Nation, and the Yidinji government was established to service the men and women on the Yidinji territory and members of that society. Very simple.
It is so simple when you can understand this. Now, the Queen of Australia is a piece of paper created inside the Commonwealth of Australia, which is the Australian Constitution. That piece of paper has other pieces of paper, Mr. Wyatt, whatever, swearing allegiance to it. It's not Ken the Man. Ken the Man has taken an oath. He has joined up. He's taken membership in the Commonwealth of Australia. And when you take membership, you then pledge allegiance to that piece of paper that pledges to the Queen of Australia, the other piece of paper. So this is how he's seen legally and politically through paper. And that's what it's all about, the paperwork itself. It's not the man or the woman, because we're born, we live, we die. We're part of God's property. And we'll be judged by God or Gopi in the instance of here for our actions here, what we've done. Now, if we pledge our allegiance away from God, yeah, we face the consequences of that, fair enough. If we pledge, you know, unwavering support for Australia over giving that to God or whatever, then we'll be judged on that one, most definitely. So we've got to understand this is paper now, talking to other paper. And we've created our own paper subject to our sovereignty, which was never ceded, by the way, to create pieces of paper to talk to the paper Australia. This is how simple it is.
Yeah, we just had created an office. And, you know, when you go walk into an office, there's a desk, maybe, or pen and paper, and stamps, and little golden stars, and, you know, a report card here and there. But, you know, you're listening to Black Lord Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service. And, of course, if you're listening to it in any other jurisdiction, it's possibly via the National Indigenous Radio Service. Ginyara, if I walked into a fish and chip shop, a true fish and chip shop, that said they're only selling fish and chips.
Pauline Hanson.
Let's go Pauline Hanson, right? Fish and chip shop. Am I going to go in there and say, can I have some Asian, Malaysian dish? Some rendang and a bit of fried rice and whatnot. Now, she may be able to do that, but what I'm saying is if you're going to go to a fish and chip shop, then you must want fish and chips. You can't go in there and asking, oh, I want a bit of southern fried chicken, and they're going to say, well, we can give you a bit of fish that in the shape of a drumstick, but it's not the same. And this is what the voice to Parliament is, in my opinion. You know, you're going to go to a fish and chip shop, you're going to eat fish and chips, and guess what? If you want southern fried chicken, or if you want nice fish cooked on the coals, you go to Yidinji territory or wherever you're going. But that's what I'm saying. If you're going to go to a football stadium to watch soccer, you're going to get soccer. And all the rules there, you can't complain, but you're not going to watch baseball or whatever. And this is the thing now, that people are starting to work out what exactly the Commonwealth of Australia is, how the game is played, and what they serve inside the Commonwealth of Australia. And they can't do cup Murray or tribal food in fast food Commonwealth.
The Prime Minister in 1941 summed it up perfectly. This is a British outpost in the South Pacific. It's the White Australia. That's exactly the words. That's exactly what Australia is. There's no other way of describing Australia. And Pauline is right. She is an Indigenous Australian. She's white. And she's actually a pretty good fish and chip saleswoman too. She had a good shop, apparently. I take my hat off to her. And if I was her, I'd get upset. If you come in there and asking for, you know, some Thai takeaway, if I was her selling fish and chips, I'd tell you to get out the door. This is a fish and chip shop.
Or politely go to Siam.
Well, you might as well. You're not going to get it there. Look, when you join Australia, you joined up to the White Australia policy. That's why Mark Latham came out, you know, not long back about the White Australia. This, and it's okay to be white. Good on you. The part that annoys me is they're trying to say they're not racist. They are. Look, Australia is, the Commonwealth of Australia is racist. It has to be. It was set on the White Australia policy. Can someone, anywhere in Australia, show me where that policy's been overturned, been done away with, and I mean done properly, not just, oh, we'll just get rid of it. When they made the club in 1900, it was the White Australia. Everyone joined up because of that club. It was to be the White Australia. You can't get halfway through the game and say, oh, we'll make it the Black Australia now. Well, would they have joined up, or would you stay a member of the Black Australia if you thought you were joining up to the White Australia?
Well, they wouldn't even let people use the toilets together, let alone go to the same pub or whatever. So this is clearly... let's take a break. We'll come back after the break. You're listening to Black or Tribal Edition, the deadliest radio program that you ever heard in your lifetime. And we'll be back.
Step onto glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for His very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. From heaven, almost any time. 'Tis a royal service, built for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for His very own. Charges, telephone is free. It is built for service, just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Ganyara, we were talking about white power. White power is okay if there's black power, yellow power, brown power, and it's all the same power. But the problem is, the Commonwealth of Australia, as you said so rightly, was for a British outpost. This was the intention of the Commonwealth of Australia at the time. And, as you correctly pointed out, it hasn't been changed since. Now, there might be feelings inside the Commonwealth of Australia that they want to change. Fair enough, because they've got to catch up with the rest of the world. It's like you used to hear those conversations about people saying, oh, Queensland's a bit behind. And, they certainly said that at the election time when, apparently Queensland was to blame for it all. But at the end of the day, it is a dying dinosaur. Any laws or constitutions based on race is quickly going to go out the window. Because last time we spoke, we talked about the Pope's intention to actually get rid of those things where racism, and he's setting up the special authority to strip individual rights of nations if they don't comply with the certain things that are rolling out. Now, this is important. Listen very, very carefully. The Commonwealth of Australia is a white-only shop. It's a white-only fish and chip shop. If you go in there for Southern Fried Chicken, you're not going to get it. And if you're in there as a black fella, get to the back of the line. You're not supposed to be in here, but we'll serve you around the corner. Come around the back entrance and we'll do some sly dealings there. Now, I don't know if that's that analogy is correct, but you know, I'm using a bit of a poetic license there to illustrate this particular matter. But the Commonwealth of Australia has to change, and this is why I think they're putting such a big effort into the press again, because they know that they have to change. But maybe the people in charge of Australia, and I'm not saying Scott Morrison or anyone else, but there's old families and clubs inside of Australia that may want to just sort of change Australia but keep it the same. A leopard can't change its spots, it says in the good book there, in the Holy Bible. And let's see what happens. Watch this space.
It sure has to change. Or something has to change. It can't keep going forever, because they know that at least we've worked out just what we are and who we are and who the Almighty Authority is. First of all, it's not us as the Almighty Authority. That's God. He created the place. That's his place. But we've realised that our law has stood the test of time, because it's been here from before that when the white fellas come, and it's still here, as the judge said. It's still here. You own the place pursuant to your law. Now, if you're the true and correct owner, why won't you act like the true and correct owner? You know, Australia's not the owner. They admit that. They don't own the place. Julia Gillard said that. If the judge says we own it, why aren't we acting like it? You know, I was only talking to a bloke over in the West the other day, and he was saying, you know, native title gets us nothing. We get nothing. I said, you're absolutely right. It gives you evidence only that you are the owner, yet you want to walk away from that ownership right. You know, understand this part. You joined Australia, the white Australia, to walk away from your land. Don't blame the government for that. You've got to say, look, I was at fault. I made a mistake there. But now I've unmade the mistake, and I'm going back to my land, and I'm going to be the true and correct owner of it, and I'll offer to Australia the treaty. That's what they so desperately need. This is what has to change, is the treaty. The two sovereignties must work out some formula on how both of them are going to coexist peacefully on this piece, same piece of land at the same time.
Well, actually, I would go one further to say that one has to bow to the other. One has to bow down for the other. And this is the crazy part of it, if you like, is that it's not the Commonwealth of Australia that is the ultimate power on this territory. It is if you're inside of Australia, but it's built on a rock that doesn't belong to them. And that rock is a fortress, and that rock is the Yidinji Nation and the one that created it. So, and this is something that people, I have discussions about theology and things that they say, oh no, but we came to bring the message of God to Yidinji. Well, I would ask them, was God here before the white man came here? And was it God or gold you were after? So these are the things now that people are starting to realise, oh, well, yeah, actually, you know, God was here, and it all must be, because they gave Yidinji language. We never come from apes, because there's no monkeys here.
Well, you're dead right with that, you know. We have to do something for Australia. They can't do anything for us.
Yeah, if a stranger sojourns on your land, do not vex them. In fact, we are actually welcoming them, and more than that, happy to pay for their food and their lodging, and actually to wipe the debt. That's what true reconciliation is.
It's the only way to bring... Well, reconcile means to balance the books out. Reconciliation has never taken place yet, because under Article 28 of UNDRIP, pay for the place.
Well, we're happy to do that.
Yeah, we'll reconcile the books all right our way, and it'll be zeroed out. That way we can all move forward together. Now, whoever comes into your territory is subject to your authority and law. Did we go into Australia's territory, or did they come into our territory? They come into our territory, so they're subject to our law.
Well, did Captain Cook come on a boat here, or was he here and then he went on a boat and came back to his homeland?
I think he was a white fellow, wasn't he? Look, they come into our territory. They weren't asked to come here. They come in, occupied the place as a settlement, They just moved into a house and settled in a room, basically. Started to live in a room. They took over the house. But that still doesn't give them the house. The house is still owned by us. And in this instance, we want to share that ownership with Australia. And the only way we can sort this out properly is through a true treaty in every sense of the word. One that's done between two sovereign nations, the sovereignties that coexist. By the way, the Uluru Statement said they exist, not us. We know they exist, but they reinforced that position. The sovereignties coexist together. We're back under one, Australia's under the other. And we've got to get some sort of formal agreement to let them come together and both be here on the same place at the same time together. That's the only thing that can happen. But they can't give us nothing. We own the place. Understand that. We are the owners.
Now, before I forget, this week on the ABC Q&A program, racism was brought to the fore again. Marcy Langton is a professor and a very well-known academic, an Indigenous Australian. Let's have a listen to her about what she thinks is the ugly side of Australia.
I don't understand why Australia didn't, just as Europe did many years ago, make it a criminal offence to deny the Holocaust. So when I saw those lunatic fascists in Melbourne on St Kilda Beach giving the Heil Hitler salute in our city...
Wasn't Fraser Anning with them?
And Fraser Anning was with them. I was just enraged that there is no law to stop that. The police, you know, were there. There was a counter-protest, but it just should be illegal. And then they daubed anti-Semitic filth all over the walls around the suburb, including on a Jewish old people's home. Imagine how terrifying that would be for the people in that old people's home. But when our senators voted for Pauline Hanson's idiotic resolution, It's Okay to Be White, which is a Ku Klux Klan slogan, I felt sick. And I started to lose hope. I thought, how can apparently intelligent people vote for that resolution? I was so disgusted. And, you know, just look at the list of people who voted for that resolution. It's shocking. It's absolutely deeply, deeply shocking. And I, you know, to this day, I have to say I'm going to find it very, very difficult to be civil to the people who voted for that resolution in the Senate. And this movement has brought disgrace to our parliament. This filth is in our parliament. And there's barely an objection. I would like to see the government take these issues much more seriously, and I would like to see the responsible members of our parliament take the issue seriously enough to refuse to play games like giving visas to provocateurs who bring this Nazi filth into our country. I want that to stop.
Okay.
Well, there you go. That was Professor Langton. Obviously, she's complaining and she's saying she doesn't understand how and why. But we just explained that, didn't we? Because the Commonwealth of Australia, the fish and chip shop, is for white fellows only. And so they have every right in that world to exercise, whether people can say it's white supremacy or just the normal run-of-the-mill stuff, which has been... through the ages, identified as a British outpost and a white Australia. Keep the numbers up. Deakin, Isaac Isaacson, you name it, they're all there.
You're dead right. And the first word she says is she does not understand. That's an admission. You know, to me, she's actually said, look, I just don't know what the hell's going on.
She's an academic, though. She's been to university. She's a professor. And... you know, she wasn't born yesterday, because I know, I've listened to her speak, I know who she is, and I've met her a few times and had a good yarn with her. Yeah. But, now, it's obvious to us. Once they know these things, they can't unlearn them.
You're right. Look, where was she educated? inside a tribe or in Australia. She's only given one side of the story. And look, when you're an academic like that and you get so engrossed in your world, you may lose sight of the other part of it. And look, I don't hold that against her. When she said she doesn't understand, that was good to hear from someone so educated, I don't understand. And look, we don't know everything. Anyone who does is God. He knows the lot. So, and if she's going to claim to know everything, and I know what's going on type stuff, then she must be God. I don't think so. We don't know everything. But when you start to hear this stuff, you explain to me how getting a voice in a parliament in Australia is going to satisfy all the conditions of UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People. It can't. It just physically can't. I want someone to explain to me how it's going to work, how this complies with every article. There is none. None. Even the Uluru Statement. How does a voice in Parliament bring about the treaty between the two sovereign powers? Because you're in Australia, how can you be over in the other sovereign entity that coexists with that of Australia? You can't be in both places at once.
Well, it would be something like, let's say, a man or woman who is, and I don't want to tarnish anyone who may be suffering from this condition or had this condition, but multiple personality disorder. Let's say I, in one body, am confused about who I am at this particular point in time. And that's the thing now. There has to, you can't, you have to be very careful, because you can act like that, or you seriously think that you are a number of people or persons, and to your own detriment.
You know what Marcia's problem is? She was never, ever, ever given full disclosure about the membership of joining up the Commonwealth of Australia. Was she ever told, as a black woman, you are joining the white Australia? Now, no Australian that I know of that was born in this area was given full disclosure, full understanding of what it's about to take membership in something like the Commonwealth of Australia. Is it compulsory? Can you be forced to have membership in Australia, to take it up? If you're going to be forced upon you, it's not membership. It can't be. That's compulsory. You know, you have to have this? No way. We're God's thing, and we have free will. We have the free will to choose something. So when you join up into something like the white Australia, you're actually taking part in the racist world that's here. You know, the Mark Latham, the this is the white Australia stuff.
If you ask any bummer out there, would you join an organisation called Whites Only Inc?
Or the Ku Klux Klan.
Or the KKK. Yeah. You know, because whites only might think, oh, yeah, I don't mind white sheets and white walls, and that's, you know, not too bad, nice and clean. But the thing is that if you ask anyone, would you like to join the KKK, they'll be like, hey, look, good go. No, thanks very much. But, you know, there might be some curious people who say, yeah, all right, I'll have a look. But what I'm saying is that if you were explained from the very beginning, look, this is what happens inside this nightclub, you know, we've got a white DJ with white music, with white dancing, and with white people. Okay, well, I'm not sure about this. I thought it was diverse and multicultural and all these things. I think a lot of people would actually say, no, I don't want to be part of that, if they were told what actually goes inside that.
If they were given full disclosure of the truth. And that's what Australia has never done to any of its citizens yet, including Marcia. She's a very, very educated woman. No ifs and no buts about that. And look, I take my hat off to her for being that educated and taking that much, or putting that much dedication into it. Just imagine what would happen if she dedicated that sort of time and attention to bringing about a treaty with her lot with Australia, or bringing back her lot to treaty with Australia. Same with all of them academics, you know. Even Ken White, he's put a lot of time and effort into getting where he has in politics. And what would happen if he dedicated that time to his lot, to his government, to say to Australia, look, you need a treaty to be here. You imagine this, how it could all happen. But Australia, there is some white influence in Australia to keep it white and to keep the blackfellas out of Australia, or keep them subjected to Australia. They don't want the blackfellas back, especially when there's Article 28 of UNDRIP sitting out there. You've got to pay for the place or give it back, one or the other. How are they going to pay for the place? They can't. Are they going to give it back? No, they can't. They're our property. This is what I'm saying. We've got to start to understand why these people are going down this road, or why they're being led down this road. There's a lot of money in it for them, but Australia will face a bigger bill if they don't give those few pennies out to those people. This is the thing. We've got to understand what the big picture is. Let's not be fooled by it, though. We can achieve something. We can do something. You know, now this recognition, this voice to Parliament. Do we really want a voice in a racist Parliament? It is the white Australia. Until that changes, do we really want a voice in there? No, you don't. You've got your voices in there already. We need a treaty. The Aboriginal people need a treaty in its true and correct capacity between the sovereign nations that coexist, whose sovereignty coexists in this very place together, in accord with the Uluru Statement. That's what we've got to set up for, is this treaty. But who's going to treaty? I don't know too many other Aboriginal governments out there other than a few up this way here. Where's the ones in Victoria? Where's the ones in West Australia? Where's the ones in South Australia? Those ones, where are they? This is the question. Are they being led down the garden path in Victoria of doing the state-based treaty? And accidentally, I just see a bit of an article out the other day about Queensland in regard to the election. They're talking about, oh, Queensland should break away from Australia, the state of Queensland. Hang on. The state of Queensland is created subject to the Commonwealth of Australian Constitution. It can't break away. Don't even go down that. This is just a diversionary tactic to get your mind away from the real thing that's going on behind the scenes. Australia doesn't have a treaty, full stop, period. The colony of Queensland, it's long gone, but it's still alive over in England. It's not here, though. Don't even think about going back to that, because it doesn't have consent to be here. It doesn't have a treaty either.
Yeah, and you know, the same with the colony of Hong Kong. It's still back in England, but it left. It left Hong Kong a long time ago, which is why they have a different administration there now.
97, I think, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I witnessed that. On television. I wasn't there. The same way I witnessed the wall coming down in Germany. I wasn't there. But, you know, the same, you know, I've been to different universities. I've never studied there. I've walked through them. But, you know what I'm saying? I saw them. I saw it happen. And it stuck in my mind, all these things, by the way. You know, how can East Timor be a country? How can Hong Kong revert back to this other thing? All these things are going on in my mind and saying, well, but Australia says it's not going to change. It, you know, and, you know, once you come out of there, you know, thanks to God, that I did leave that place because I wasn't supposed to be in there. Now we can help them out. We can give them the smiley Yidinji stamp on all their paperwork. And that's the seriousness of us all. This is, you know, it's crazy. It is literally about pieces of paper. And but for us, it's a bit more serious because there has been a lot of crimes committed on our territory. We're not interested in token gestures or voices to Parliament. We do have a Parliament. We have a government. And it's subject to the laws of the Yidinji Society. And within that society, there are other societies, like the Blue Figs Law Society and many others that exist that Australia probably can't see, or maybe they heard about it. But what they do know is that the Yidinji Nation is back, that the true government is back, and that the administration rights to the Yidinji territory is up for grabs. And that is the power of sovereignty. We appoint who we want on our territory. Yidinji appoints who they want to administer its territory. And Yidinji may say, well, actually, we want to be part of the UN. It may happen. But I don't think so. This is the whole point of it now. We're not here to break up the Commonwealth of Australia into different pieces, like the Soviet Russia went through a phase, and then it became the Commonwealth of Independent States, and then it became the Russian Federation. And the Russian Federation has treaty with all these little tiny places that you've probably never heard of. Karelia is a nation separate to the Russian Federation, but by treaty it is part of the Russian Federation. So the Russians help defend it. And so when you look at all these things around the planet, the Australian continent is sitting here with not one administrator, a lawfully, legally appointed administrator. So that's where we're at.
It sure is. If we have the right to cede sovereignty, right? Our sovereignty was never ceded. That means we have a right to cede if we want.
A limited ceding, by the way.
Yeah, well, even if we wanted the whole lot. Get rid of the whole lot. What would happen if we said, who's Australia's arch enemy in the UN world?
New Zealand.
Yeah, well, that Kiwi, but they got a treaty. well, actually, New Zealand doesn't have a treaty. There is one down there, but New Zealand's got nothing to do with it. You know, the arch enemy, let's say China or Donald Trump. No, he's best mate. No, China, for example. What would happen? What would happen if we ceded our sovereignty to China? No problem. We got the right to cede it. We offer it to Australia and they say we don't want it yet. They're not going to answer us. So, okay, let's cede it. This is a hypothetical. Let's cede it to China.
But as long as we can get Chinese food at the fish and chip shop, that's the part of the treaty.
Then it becomes, you see what I mean? We cede the sovereignty to China. Now, this little part of the world is under the jurisdiction of the Chinese government. What an interesting concept that may be. What an interesting spin, yeah, or turn of events it would bring about. China would have to defend us from the Australians. Would that bring about a war with America and Australia? You bet it would. And that's what I keep saying about the Treaty of Waitangi. The treaty was between the British and the Maoris to defend the Maoris. You know, part of the condition was to protect the Maoris from everyone else. Why don't they call for the British warships down there to get rid of the New Zealanders off their territory? That's what it was all about, defend us from the New Zealanders. Same, same. It's because they're all too busy being New Zealanders, just like the Aboriginals, all too busy being Australians, that they can't see this other side. Marcia, for example, she can't see this other side. She doesn't understand what this other side is yet because she's all too educated inside the state of Australia, which is what she must be. If she wants to be an Australian, do the best you can for Australia. And that is the white Australia that you're taking part in. The racist Australia that she said, I can't figure out why it's here. The Constitution.
Well, in saying that now, if it's in the best interest for Australia that people should be exercising their rights and obligations and, you know, their constructive contributions to the Commonwealth, then would it not be more beneficial for them inside of Australia to now promote a treaty with the tribal nations that have come back to set up their governments in their true and correct capacities? Because if they are hell-bent on maintaining a white Australia policy, then I can't see that's being sustainable at law, especially on the Yidinji territory. So now the Prime Minister is charged with navigating the Commonwealth through these very difficult waters, and the only help they've got is the black fellow on the beach saying, I'll go this way, and come here on the land and we'll look after you, your boat and everything else. Like Cook was looked after up what Australians call Hopetown area. What do you call it? Hopevale.
Hopevale and Cooktown.
Yeah, Cooktown, rather, and Hopevale area, which is in what Australians call Cape York. So that's what we're talking about now. The exercising of the white Australian muscle now inside of Australia has to come to terms with, we can't do this anymore. We can't do this anymore. White supremacy is dying, is gone. Black supremacy is gone. Asian supremacy is gone. Everyone's equal in the world of persons. And that's where this is going down the track. The Pope said it very clearly in recent weeks that he won't be tolerating any anti-Semitism, any racism, any nations that are building walls to stop others from based on race and whatnot. So I think it's very important. That's a bit of a broad shot to a broadside to the Commonwealth of Australia and other nations that may be peddling this white supremacist attitude.
In law, there can be no race in paper. A piece of paper is a piece of paper. Wasn't it on the Yidinji radio going back a few years said that the gay marriage was just a unification of pieces of paper? It wasn't man on man or woman on woman. It was pieces of paper on pieces of paper. They're going to unify the estate of two pieces of paper. That's where all your rights, you own nothing when you come on this earth. When you're born, you own nothing. When you die, you own nothing. What is shown as ownership is pieces of paper owning something that got a bundle of rights attached to it. You see, so we said, going back years, gay marriage is not two men getting married. It's their peace, their identities are joining together, the estate, into one. It has to happen. If they can do it man or woman, where there is no gender, same with two men, there is no gender, you know, when they marry. Same with women, when they marry, they're just pieces of paper, no gender. Same with race. There is no colour in law. What makes you... Yeah, let's go and have a look at Nigel Mansell, for example. Michael Mansell. Nigel was a racer. Michael Mansell, he's a Aboriginal bloke from Tasmania. Blonde hair, blue eyes and white skin. He's Aboriginal. If you want to look at his skin, he's white. But you get someone standing next to him for out of the desert, out of them big tall Murrays there, they're black. But there's still men standing side by side. But they're both Aboriginal.
Exactly right. And that's the crazy part. But what's in their wallet? Who do they identify as? Now, that's the question here we're talking about.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. That piece of the paper in their wallet, what's the colour on it? It's all the same colour. The card is exactly the same. The identity, the birth certificate is identical as a piece of paper. Even though the men may be black and white, chalk and cheese, they are still pieces of paper that are white, or whatever you want to call it. So it's pieces of paper. Understand this. There is no creed. There is no religion. There is no gender. There is no race. There's no place for racism in a true constitutional democracy. There is none. It can't be. Pieces of paper are pieces of paper wherever you go around the world. And that's what it is. And that's why we had to create our own pieces of paper to talk to the piece of paper called the Commonwealth of Australia. It has to be that way. There is no other way for it to happen. And this is what Marcy is not understanding. And a lot of, look, I don't just hold it out as her, but she's an academic that said, I just do not understand.
She's very, very smart. And that's what I'm saying. This is not a backhanded compliment or anything like that. She has actually done, she's written lots of books. She is dedicated to deconstructing racism and all these things inside of Australia. And that's very important to remind people that are listening. We're not having a go at anyone, because the Yidinji way is to be a friend to all and an enemy to none. So I just want to remind people about that.
My word. And look, she's very educated. If she doesn't understand, what chance has the poor bloke out in the street got? If she doesn't understand, and, you know, I'm glad she said, I do not understand. If she don't, no one else has got much of a chance to understand exactly what's going on, do they? So you've got to start to look at the whole picture now. No one understands what's going on because they were never given this full disclosure about the membership that they took part in. You joined up to something you didn't know what you were joining. And what you joined up to here was the white Australia, the racist white Australia. That one. You've got to change that document there before you do anything else. And, you know, part of the treaty with Australia will be, so you can keep your white Australia. We don't like a racist thing. We're the Yidinji lot here, where there is no black and white. Everyone on our territory is subject, you know, is equal to each other. There is no creed. There is no gender. There is no religion. There's none of that. So we've got to understand just what we've joined up to. And when you join up to something, please, please get full disclosure every time you do some contractual arrangement. It's so important. No, I don't think Marcy's ever been explained that she joined up to a white Australia.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. We'll be back after the break.
On TV I saw a story of the Brisbane Blacks. Pressure from society is strong. Every day, each passing day, our culture slowly dies.
paper thrown onto a fire. Now all we got is ancient weapons. Now is our only trade.
Welcome back. We're in the tail end of the program. It's gone very quickly, and I think it'll be interesting to see what transpires next. We've obviously witnessed the new government inside of Australia from the Yidinja point of view. We've written those congratulation letters to Scott Morrison and to Ken Wyatt, congratulating on them on the bigger task ahead, I think, is the formal agreement with the Yidinja Nation. That's the priority. It should be the priority for them. By all the talkings about one, the voice to Parliament and the Uluru Statement, who knows what can happen next. But we're very confident that the Commonwealth of Australia has to fall in line here. And it will happen in our lifetime. I'm very, very sure about that. That being in the next 10 years, easily. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether they do come up with a referendum question. They're committed to financing that. The administrators of the Commonwealth said that recently as part of the Liberal Party policy on Indigenous Australians, for Indigenous Australians, to ask that question at a referendum. So let's see what happens then. But Ganyara, I guess... not only here, but elsewhere, this UNDRIP document is the challenge for them because they have to roll that out. In particular, the countries that we mentioned in last week or the week before was that New Zealand, Australia, the United States, and Canada. And yes, and if you have a look at those four nations, the conversations that are being had are pretty much the same. How can we change the constitution? How can we instill Aboriginal rights in the constitution? Let's spend $1 billion to look at this and facilitate this process, but with no real outcome to it at this stage.
There's nothing in it for the Aboriginal people, for the Indigenous people. Just that is so plain and simple to see. There was an article about West Australia recently. 95% of the Kimberleys is under native title. There's nothing in it for them. Why? Why is there nothing in it for them? It's because there is nothing in Australia for you to own. It's all owned back under your own law. You know, like you said, $1 billion, $2 billion, even $10 billion to get a referendum, you know, to keep them inside Australia, that's a pittance compared to what they've got to do to pay for Article 28 of UNDRIP. How are you going to pay for the world, you know? How are the Americans going to pay for what they've taken off all the Indians there? How's Australia going to pay for what it's taken off the Aboriginals here? New Zealand, Canada, how are they going to pay? They can't. And this is the issue. Try and contain it. Try and keep it within the white supremacist issue. It's too late for that. The cat's out of the bag now. You know, now it's out. As adults, growing up people with half a brain, we've actually got to take the time to say, what's the best way forward to set the future up now? Not so much for us, but for the future generations. So this will never rear its ugly head again. We'll step on this racist attitude right now, quell it, get rid of it, and we'll just move forward together. Because we're living on one ball, one planet. There is no other planet to go and live on yet. Let's look after the place and look after each other. So simple.
And, you know, if there was another planet, probably made in China. So, in saying that, hey, listen, it was great to talk again today. I do appreciate you travelling down via the Yidinja private jet down to the main stay here. And, you know, be careful when you're flying back home. But... on a serious note, thank you so much. And I think, once again, don't lose focus. If people out there are discouraged by certain things in the world, don't lose focus. If the answer and the remedy is quite simple, but it may take you a long walk to get there, just like Michael Long did the long walk from Melbourne to Canberra and all these things, right? The walk backwards to your tribal roots and the society that... governs this land, and you will find the answer there. Gai Bradagala Nyunda, may God's peace be upon you through his only begotten son, and Ganyara, thanks very much for coming down.
Garu.
Garu, see you next week.